Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, as we'll discuss the international friendly from last night. As the United States, they fall to Colombia by a final of 4-2. pardon me. What we will also do is this. We will discuss afterwards. Originally, I said first 15 minutes of the show, but Carter Krishnire, who's going to join me later tonight, currently is running a bit late, so he'll join me a little bit later. So here's what we're going to do. I will discuss the friendly last night, and when Carter Krishnire is able to get on the show, we will discuss the amazing situation that happened this afternoon, this whole whirlwind of the Columbus Crew saga, as at the moment, as far as what I understand it to be, the owners of the Cleveland Browns, along with a member of an ownership group, or they are going to be an ownership group, I should say, a Columbus businessman, has joined up with the Cleveland Browns, with the Haslams, as they will keep the Columbus Crew in Columbus, which means that Anthony Precourt will be moving out of Columbus, Ohio, and he will concentrate on bringing in a club for his Austin FC expansion team. Now, we'll get to all of those fun things in a moment, but let's go ahead about what happened here Thursday night down in Tampa, Florida, as the U.S. fall to the to Colombia by a final of 4-2. You know, you're looking to see if there's any progress. You're looking to see if anything good happened. You're looking to see if there's a situation where you believe that there is progress made with these youngsters, but at the same time, progress on how some of these young kids are doing with veterans. And, you know, I understand it's easy to go after Michael Bradley after what happened in, as they say, it's a one-year anniversary of, you know, that just passed, where the United States got eliminated from the World Cup because, Michael Bradley was a part of that debacle. And he will be forever linked to that debacle, no matter how much he says it doesn't bother him. He's able to sleep at night and all that other fun stuff that, you know, on what he said. But the truth of the matter is this, is that no matter how well he'll sleep, the truth is that he is a part of that debacle. He is a part of that problem where we all saw what we all saw. Not enough urgency, not enough wanting to go after the game, to go after the ball in the first half, and it took him the second 45 minutes to get back into it. And the truth of the matter is this. And, you know, all you can say is that Michael Bradley, he just proved to me that he probably has already moved on from it, that he doesn't want to remember it, that he doesn't want to understand that, you know, he is a part of the failure. part of the failure of what happened that night down in Trinidad and Tobago. So all you can really say is that this situation would never have happened unless Michael Bradley was able to go out there and play the way he should be playing. But in reality, we have an issue anyway because something shouldn't have happened and he's got nobody to blame but himself. But we'll get to that in a minute. Overall, this is where, once again, results kind of matter, but at the same time, they don't matter. But what you see are kids getting opportunities to play these fantastic teams that you never see them play against unless it's in a World Cup or in a Confederations Cup, maybe, you know, in another international tournament if it ever happens. But what you saw, I think what we have seen from these kids now mixing up with some of these veterans, you are watching, in my opinion, a good representation of what we are seeing. There is some progress. Not all the way. Now, let me be clear here. There was some progress, but the progress is not one of those as we're back in the game. No, 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 no. There is still some issues that need to be solved. But there is some progress to be happy about. There is some progress to say that, you know what, when they turn it on, when they are all a cohesive unit, yes, I do see some of that progress. But are they all the way back? No, they are not all the way back. And we should not assume, nor shall we listen to people who claim that they are. They are not. They are not all the way back. Because once again, Colombia is that good. Colombia is proving that they are one of the up-and-coming powers in world football these past 4 or 5 years. I think they've proven that. I believe they've proven that. And right now, without Peckerman, because of course they're looking for a new head coach for their national team, but you are seeing, you know, great players that play not only in the Colombian Mustang League, but also across Europe. Let me say this right now. When you watch a player like James Rodriguez and how he is able, pardon me. When you saw him spin and then, you know, pop that ball up on a curve, and you saw him score the goal the way he did, that is just pure class. Absolutely pure class. You cannot take that away from him. You cannot take it away from an extraordinary player that he is. And you just say, eh, lucky shot. No, 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 no. That was calculated. He showed everyone why he is one of the best young players in the game right now. He is showing why he can pull that off. He is showing why he can put that ball anywhere he wants into the back of the net. What we saw is telling you that once again, we are developing young players, but the truth is his development is light years ahead. Light years ahead of where our kids should be. And once again, we're seeing our kids getting opportunities. They're getting opportunities in Europe, in Germany, here and there, obviously in England, in France, also in Italy. There is an opportunity for our kids to get better and to improve until they reach that same level that James Rodriguez is in. I still think they're going to be lacking just a little bit. But I see the progress is being done. But we cannot go completely overboard, assuming we all know, you know, what's going on at their club, at their clubs, whether it's in Europe or in MLS. But we are seeing great players going on. Tough not to see Christian Pulisic or Tyler Adams in these two games, obviously due to injury. But still, though, I have to say that when those two are better, and hopefully they'll get the opportunity to go to England and to Italy, which I understand that match will be played in Belgium in the friendly against Italy. We will see what happens, and we will see how it's going to be, because once again, it's a situation where I the kids have improved. They got to get rid of your nerves quicker than normal. You know, Anthony Robinson, terrible first half, but did better in the second half. And, you know, he can give you a long curling ball on the ground to cross so you get a goal. You could also do it up top in the air on those crosses. So you can tell he's got the ability to cross the ball. But, you know, he's got to try and do it before you go into the half, before you go into the locker room at halftime. But other than that, you know what? The kids, they did well. You know, it's not the result you're looking for. It's definitely not the result you're looking for. But once again, there is progress here. It's not all the way progress, but as of right now, there is progress. Cannot poo-poo the result against the French before the World Cup, but at the same time, you can't all of a sudden hold on to that after the World Cup is done because France won the World Cup. Can't hold on to that type of result. You can't do that. But once again, as I have said already, this is the situation that you need to make sure of. Need to make sure that we're going to be all the way there. And right now, in my opinion, it's the start of it. I think it's a good start at the moment. More needs to happen. We all know that. But until that does happen, let's not go completely overboard. Let's not go completely crazy. We need to watch these matches. There's still the friendly this coming Tuesday night over at Rentschler Field in Hartford, Connecticut. The United States will take on Peru. And then we have those two matches remaining in 2018 at Wembley Stadium against England. And then neutral site in Belgium, excuse me, as the USA will take on Italy. So, you know, we got to just take it with a grain of salt. We have to take it all within a grain of salt here because we are not where we should be. Who knows? Maybe we get lucky and then it's on to a big contending title if it's possible for a Gold Cup. We'll see how far they get to. We'll also have to wait and see what the situation is going to be, you know, with these last three friendlies. Because some things could change. Some things could change, and it could change for the good. It could change for the bad. But I do like what I'm seeing, and I think that's a positive within itself. There are some positives here with the national team. But until the national team gets their coach, and even though I still feel that this hiring process took way too long, I understand, you know, Ernie Stewart is now starting to get candidates being interviewed, and he needed some time. He needed some time, and I understand that whole situation, and that's fine by me. Wish the process was a little quicker, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers, and, you know, we'll see what happens, and then we get ready for 2019. And I understand the situation, U.S. Soccer was in. I understand that they had to go through this whole process. You know, could have been done a little bit faster. I think it could have been done just a tiny bit faster. Not that much, but just a tiny bit. You know, and of course, you know, got to be voting in a brand new president of U.S. Soccer in Carlos Cordero. So we'll see what he can do. Once again, I still feel he needs time to truly get himself in there. I mean, might need a little bit more time than normal, but still, though, we'll see what happens. But so far for the national team, youth level-wise, I think the progress has been okay. Not great, not yet there, but so far, okay. And then, but then, you know, once again, once we get through all of this and, you know, we look at 2019, then I think that we will see where we'll be at. Now, once again, I'm only assuming this because I have not looked at the calendar for CONCACAF, but at least we have to wait and see what the World Cup qualification process is going to be. Now, whether that's going to start at the end of this year or starting at the beginning of next year, because obviously we're going to have to take a look and see how this whole thing is going to be formulated, calculated from CONCACAF down in Miami and downtown Miami. We need to be patient and see what the brain trust of CONCACAF is going to do and to also approve the World Cup qualification process that will get to Qatar in 2022. Just to quickly talk about that, you know, once again, I am not in favor of Qatar hosting a World Cup. I believe that the way they acquired it was illegal. I still feel it's illegal. But once again, as I've said many, many times in the past, I'm not against an Arab nation hosting a World Cup. I'm not. My problem is that if they are going to host a World Cup in the traditional summer months, once again, they have the money. Once again, you know, they're building technical stuff, technological stuff as well. I mean, I feel like, you know, if they had a proper, you know, a proper meeting and a proper setup of building the stadiums first, all natural grass with a retractable roof during the hottest times in the afternoon in the summer, I still feel that they could have had that process done. And they can say, and then the technical committee could have said, you know, Qatar, they've created many stadiums, you know, with retractable roofs. You know, the air conditioning is good. You know, it's all this, it's all that. Everything looks fine. Let us give this nation a World Cup. That's all I'm saying. But instead, we all know what happened. And even though, in my opinion, once again, they won it illegally, still, there are still ways for those nations within the Middle East where I've just, if anyone listens to me, build the stadiums, build brand new stadiums, and have the technology for retractable roofs so that those of us that, you know, are not from the Middle East, that are not used to that climate, to allow us to go there and watch these World Cup matches without worrying about, you know, having a heat stroke and not worrying about seeing players, you know, falling down in the tremendous heat. I think that would be the best way to go. But once again, it's not going to happen because obviously they're moving it to the winter months, interfering with England, with their schedule. I know there'll be a winter break anyway for other nations, like in Italy. I also believe in France and Germany and Spain. They'll have a winter break, of course. I think that'll be suitable for them, but I think for England, I don't know how they're going to feel about it, which I think I already know how they feel about it. They don't really like it, but you know, this is what it's going to be, and unfortunately, the situation is not the right thing to do. But then again, what are you going to do? Nothing. There's nothing you can do about it. It's already been set in stone, and we're just going to have to move forward and get ready for a World Cup where, you know, obviously I will not be going there because I don't have the money to go. But still, though, once again, let's just get ready for a World Cup. And let's hope, and you know, the U.S. men's national team will be successful in qualifying for this particular World Cup, and hopefully, and you know, hopefully, we'll see some, we'll see what happens when we get the full field going in 2022. So we'll have to wait and see for that one. Other than that, once again, you know, this matchup against Colombia was a damn good one. I thought that the kids, like I said, I thought they did well. I thought they attacked the ball well in the second half. I think they had some solid moments in the first half, but once again, this situation is, you know, the way, of course, they got the lead quickly. They lost the lead in the second half, and then it was all Colombia after, you know, the racing was done. And all you can say is, all you can really say is that, you know, that was a lot of fun watching these kids attacking and trying to, you know, put themselves in a position to try and win the match. The veterans, well, let me say this about the veterans. And we are going to have to go to Michael Bradley, sadly. Michael Bradley lost Radamel Falcao when he was trying to defend, or at least trying to look for the ball. And he failed his teammates, the captain of the U.S. men's national team. Once you get beaten while you are not looking, it is over. There's no rat race. There's no, you know, track meet. You're basically playing catch up. And you put yourself in a position where you just couldn't find a way to stop that trailing run. And Radamel Falcao does what he always does. He puts the ball in the back of the net. Falcao, another great player from Colombia, proved that he's still one of the top players in world soccer, in world football. And all you can say is that to see him, if you want to say being lackadaisical just a little bit, or not paying attention to what's in front of you, well, that's his fault. I know he was screaming at everyone else. Everyone said, oh, he was screaming at everybody else. But you know what? That's all on him. That's all on him. And it's a shame that it's just a shame that you know, Michael Bradley did not look around and did not pay attention to where his man was. That was his man. He should have seen where he was going, when he was starting his run, and where he should have been able to start, where Michael Bradley should have started his run to try and defend him. I'm not saying to take him out because it's not the NFL. At least to get ahead of him or be even with him on on that run. And then it's just a simple pass by Juan Fernando Quintero to Radamel Falcao. And all he did was just basically a tap in. And that was it. Nothing more, nothing less, just a tap in. And all you can really say is that, look, Colombia was always the better team. We all know that. But at least you saw some ideas. At least you saw some great moments with this national team of what they can do. 5 minutes after the restart of this match, what happens? Kellen Acosta. Now, originally, it looked like Anthony Robinson got the assist, but I guess the ball touched a Colombian defender. And then it went to Kellen Acosta. And what a chance that was. What a goal that was. Kellen Acosta was able to find a way to stretch out and tuck that ball inside the near post. That was absolutely sensational. That was absolutely sensational. And what a chance that was from Acosta to bury it and level the match at one. 3 minutes later, Bobby Wood gets a great ball from Tim Weah. An absolutely well-passed ball by Tim Weah. Football royalty. Tim Weah. Bobby Wood gets into the lane between two defenders, and he too tucks it in inside the near post. Bobby Wood looking great on that goal to make it 2-1 3 minutes later, sadly. And this is within a six-minute span of three goals after the restart of the match. Carlos Bacca from Arias was able to poke it home 3 minutes later after Bobby Wood made it 2-1 U.S. And then basically the track meet happened and it was all over. But, you know, I felt Tim Weah, you can see how great he looked on that play. Obviously, he's not getting any time with PSG. Apparently, caught a tweet saying he is going to go on loan after January somewhere. And we'll see what happens with Tim Weah when, you know, wherever he goes. I know, you know, he's from New York City. Who knows? Maybe because he was a Red Bull Academy player. Maybe he'll come to MLS for the Red Bulls. Now, I'm just speculating. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It would be nice if it did happen, if Tim Weah does come over to MLS. If he does, if he wants to get some minutes in, you never know. We'll see what happens. But once again, it's a situation where when you're watching what's going on with Tim Weah and the talent that he has and the ability that he has and the gumption that he has, I love what I'm seeing from him for the national team. And I really do hope that he'll, you know, obviously he'll go on loan. But if he goes back to PSG, it's not a bad place to be at. I don't think so, especially with Tuchel there. And once again, why not be with Thomas Tuchel to run PSG on how they play? It's not bad. Not a bad thing at all. But I understand that he needs minutes. And he needs minutes for a club side so he can play for his country. And that is a great thing to see. But once again, until he gets those minutes, it's going to be hard. And, you know, it's a good thing that he's only playing 45, 50 minutes, 60 minutes. You know, you don't want to burn him out. And that was the one thing about Jozy Altidore early in his career, you know, going on a transfer to Villarreal where, you know, he was getting all these minutes for the national team. But he wasn't getting any minutes for his club team, and that whole situation was just an absolute disgrace. Because once again, you know, Villarreal, and I understand it's depth chart all the time, depth chart this, depth chart that, but once again, it's a situation where you just have to say, that our players need to get respected across the world. And I understand, well, you haven't proven anything yet when you get over there, because everyone who's over there you know, they're getting the minutes because they've earned their minutes and they've earned their time. And I understand all that. But, you know, instead of just benching our players, how about they get an opportunity with the reserves? I mean, is that possible? Well, no, because then there's depth chart there too. Well, then when are our guys going to get the opportunity? And as of right now, you're seeing these clubs in Germany in the Bundesliga, especially Borussia Dortmund, that believed in Christian Pulisic. And yes, I know he did it the right way. And that's all you want. You want it done the right way. But at the same time, these clubs need to understand, look, you brought this player over for a reason. Did you bring him over to third string, fourth string player? Or did you bring him over to say, you know what, we want you to start and we want you to go out there and prove to us at training every day that you are mentally ready to go and you are ready to go and attack every time you're on the pitch? I think that's all what American supporters want. I think that's all what we really, really want. So all you can do is really at least applaud Dortmund, Schalke, and most of the clubs in the German Bundesliga that they are able to go out there and promote our kids and put them out there and watch what they can do. I think it's a great job what they have done so far. And I also believe that, you know, it's a situation where these kids are finally getting an opportunity. You know, Josh Sargent is getting an opportunity. And it's just wonderful to see. And I keep forgetting I think it's Mönchengladbach he's with, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that one. So I don't want to assume. I know I got to look it up again, but once again, it's a situation where it just has to be said. This has to be said. That these kids are getting a chance. These kids are getting an opportunity. I'm sorry, it was Werder Bremen. My bad. At least that's why I wanted to make sure I get it correctly. Sorry about that, folks. But once again, you know, these kids, they deserve the opportunity. They deserve an opportunity to go out there and absolutely, absolutely get that chance. So we'll see what the situation will be. And we'll have to wait and see how it's going to be. But I will say this. I do see progress. It's not all the way there yet. But as of right now, there are some positive moments. I like what I'm seeing at the moment. But we're not all the way there just yet. And we'll see what the situation will be. And we'll see what will happen when these kids are going to be playing in the big boy tournaments like the Gold Cup. And if they do win the Gold Cup, go to the Confederations Cup. If they do compete for that, we'll have to wait and see. But as of right now, I think it's a positive step, but there's still more that needs to be done here. More needs to be done before we can actually feel good about results that will go their way. Still got to take on Peru this coming Tuesday, and then next month on the international break, going to Wembley Stadium against England, and then going to Belgium at a neutral site to take on Italy. So we'll see where the progress continues to go. We will also see if certain things are being repeated that shouldn't be. But as of right now, I mean, I truly believe that there is progress. But like I said, got to take it with a grain of salt. There's only so much progress you can report on. More needs to be done. And as of right now, I feel pretty good where the kids are. I feel pretty good. And then we'll have to wait and see what will happen when we get to those important games that must be played. You know, you're facing top talent here. South American top talent. And, of course, taking on Mexico. You know, I thought that that result was okay. I thought a very good result, even though the play was poor. I think right now what they need to do is they got to show that they can have better first halves, better starts than, you know, fixing things at second half when you're in the locker room at halftime. I really believe that that situation needs to be fixed as well, because we cannot continue. We cannot continue. So we'll see what happens. So once again, it's a situation where you just have to say, it's just going to be interesting to see what's going to happen at the end of this year and then the start of the new calendar year starting in January, as we'll see if there's going to be any January friendlies coming up for the kids in the U.S., for the U.S. men's national team. And we'll see how they're going to do it. We'll see how they're going to play it. And then we'll just move on forward and wait for the Gold Cup this coming June. So it should be exciting and a lot of fun. All right, guys, going to talk about now the most interesting moment that happened this entire afternoon, as the whole situation of the Columbus Crew was an absolute, it went bonkers. Twitter blew up. Facebook blew up. I think everything blew up today, hearing news and, you know, news of this, news of that, the Columbus Crew being sold to an ownership group comprised of a Mr. Haslam. Talking about going on being purchased from Mr. Anthony Precourt. And all you can do, all you can say, is that this whole thing is just absolutely unbelievable what's been going on. To see the owner of the Cleveland Browns coming in, joining forces, I know it's with another owner who is from the Columbus area, and to see what these men are able to do, to come in, swoop in, purchasing the Crew from Anthony Precourt. Now, I'm not going to bother you with the silliness of, you know, something here, something there. But let me just say this. Care how, if there was like an expansion fee that Mr. Haslam had to pay. I do not care if, you know, the way things have been worded, like, okay, you know, well, Precourt's going to take the official title, take the official MLS club title away from the Crew to go to Austin, while Columbus paid an expansion fee to come back into the league. I'm not going to worry you with, but let me just say this. It's just been a big whirlwind of craziness today as, the Save the Crew thing has finally been done. So here it is. I'm going to get this from Andrew Erickson of the Columbus Dispatch, who, look, I want to give credit to my colleagues at SB Nation, the Massive Report, who covers the Columbus Crew. Great job by them staying with all this shenanigans, this craziness, foolishness. And all you can do is just congratulate everyone. Andrew Erickson, the Columbus Dispatch, of course, all those who blog, all those that cover soccer in Columbus, to go out and say, let me say thank you to all of you, for coming in, doing your work to keep us updated, and thank God that the Crew will remain in Columbus. Now, the owner, or the other owner, is Pete Edwards. Now, he is, I believe, he owns, I don't know what company he owns. We'll try and set something up with those that are more informed than I am of what goes on in Columbus. But I believe that this is Mr. Pete Edwards, I believe he's a business owner in the city of Columbus, who has partnered with D and Jimmy Haslam, who owns the Cleveland Browns, to go out there and, big, big task to run the Columbus Crew in MLS. This has been, a tough, tough year to see all these things come together. And now that it has come together, I think we can all sit back, relax, and celebrate a glorious time, a glorious moment. The Crew has been saved. We can all now move on, feel better about ourselves. It's just been absolutely incredible to see what's happened with all of this craziness that everyone in Columbus had to go through. The shenanigans of ownership, not opening all the gates for the playoffs last year for the Crew. Long lines entering Mapfre Stadium. I mean, just seeing the nuttiness that was going on, it's just been terrible, absolutely terrible. And, once Mr. Precourt is officially out of there, the first thing, and we'll get to the stadium issue in a moment, but let me just say this. The first thing that has to happen is this. The first thing to happen should be, until the new stadium, I know there'll be a new stadium built. Obviously, that's part of the report that's coming in here with Mr. Haslam, Mr. Edwards purchasing the Crew. Before you purchase the stadium or the land to build that new stadium, when it does happen, once Mr. Precourt is out completely, I think it's time to rename the old girl, rename it back to Crew Stadium. Rename it back as Crew Stadium. And then once you build the new stadium, then you can, you know, whatever corporate sponsorship you want for it, then you throw it on. I really believe that's what you're going to have to do. I truly believe you're going to have to rename or bring back Crew Stadium. And then once you build your new stadium, then you can get your sponsorship deal with whatever you want to get for it and everything else like that. Because as of right now, you want to get rid of anything that smells or reeks of Anthony Precourt. Sorry to be so forward about that, but the truth is, Mr. Precourt, he bamboozled everybody. He bamboozled MLS. He bamboozled the Hunts. And even though MLS became guilty by association on this whole situation, and they got a lot of explaining to do, unfortunately, because, you know, they acted like, okay, we'll go along with it. Okay, we'll follow your lead, Mr. Precourt. We'll do all we can to make sure, and, you know, the metrics and all this stuff and that stuff, you know, just absolutely pathetic to see this happen. And once again, this is not about metrics of business. This is not about, you know, how much money in sponsors are you making. What this is about, very plain and simple, is a message. But once again, this is a situation where we are seeing the Columbus Crew, you know, surviving a horrible, almost a horrible thing that was going to happen. A horrible thing that basically almost came to fruition. It's a situation where you pray to God this doesn't happen again. You know, I'm all for clubs coming in. I'm all for, you know, people trying to create clubs. But what I'm not for is seeing owners moving a club for their own purpose. You know, when the original San Jose Earthquakes moved out of San Jose and went to Houston, that was a situation where, unfortunately, it wasn't working. That was a situation where the Earthquake situation was not working and, you know, they're at an impasse. So they had no choice but to move to Houston. But back then, MLS understood that there had to be a club in San Jose. We had to have a club back in San Jose. We needed a club back in San Jose. So what they did was they kept the records intact. They kept the Shield intact. And the Earthquakes came back. Yes, they played somewhere else on a different college campus to play their games until they finally built Avaya Stadium. Thank you, Lord, for Avaya Stadium. Here, we had a club that was being supported, represented, built the first ever soccer-specific stadium in the history of the league. And instead of working with the city, and instead of working with the city government and the state government of Ohio, the city government of Columbus and the state government of Ohio, instead of working with them to try and do something, nope, we're out of here. Thank you, Columbus. It's been swell, but to be honest with you, I don't want to be here anymore. And that's what the situation was. And that's where, sadly, it reeked of moving away a founding charter member and the land of Dos Aceros every time Mexico came to play in a World Cup qualifier. To get rid of that was an absolute travesty. To get rid of that moment was an absolute travesty. And I just can't understand why. Why you want to get out of Columbus and the way that these supporters have been loyal, loyal to their club, to the sport, to the league. And now they have a reason to be weary of MLS. The day that Commissioner Don Garber is no longer running MLS and a brand new commissioner comes in, that's when Columbus Crew supporters will feel safe again, comfortable again, and not worry about the shenanigans that was going on behind their backs. That is the situation. That is the situation that is in front of us, folks. That is the situation that Columbus Crew supporters have been feeling. Now, let me say this. I want to go to the Austin soccer fans that are awaiting either a USL side, which is Austin Bold FC, or the new soon-to-be Austin FC coming in, I guess, 2021 to MLS. I want to talk to those guys for just a moment. I am not blaming anyone from the city of Austin. I am not blaming anyone from the government, the city government of Austin, or from the state capital representing Austin, Texas. This is not your fault. This is not your doing. This is not your issue. This is not, I have nothing against you, nor should I have anything against you. This is not your fault. This is the fault of one man playing with the heartstrings of one city in the Northeast, in Ohio. And who knows if this man was messing around with your heartstrings as well. I will still welcome Austin FC into MLS and into the fold when they do become a reality. Hopefully that stadium will be built. But once again, I don't blame you guys. It's not your fault. Once again, it is the fault of Anthony Precourt, who is trying to play Dick Dastardly. If you remember the Wacky Races or the Catch That Pigeon cartoon with his friend Muttley, that's who I'm talking about. This whole situation is squarely at the feet of Anthony Precourt. And to all of you in Columbus right now, to all of you in Columbus, Ohio, and within the bordering areas of, you know, the suburban towns around Columbus, let me ask of you this. Do not blame a person from Austin, Texas for this whole situation. That is not their faults either. It's not their faults. They lost their Aztecs. Yes, they were expecting a USL club to come in, and they still will come in. And then all of a sudden, you have Mr. Precourt, and for Austin, Texas, coming to MLS somewhere down the road. This is a situation, once again, where all we know is this. All we know is that this situation has been gut-wrenching from start to finish. This whole situation has been gut-wrenching, gut-wrenching from start to finish. And now, as far as I know, the champagne bottles, the corks have been popped open. The kegs have been tapped. The beers are flowing in the glasses and the mugs and the pints right now. Everybody that wears black and gold is now on party mode. It's time to get ready and have some fun. It's time to get ready and enjoy yourselves. Because as of right now, because we are getting ready, folks, to have a party. And let me just say this right now. Every single supporter of every single club in Major League Soccer, as well as probably some supporters in other clubs in the USL, including FC Cincinnati, is happy that the Columbus Crew will remain. And think about that derby. One Open Cup match last year. And now, depending on the scheduling, two or three matches next year. Who knows? Maybe that will be cut down as well. But my goodness, folks, what a fun time this is going to be. What a fun time that will be. Cincinnati versus Columbus. This is going to be a fun time for everybody. This is going to be a fun time for everyone getting ready once these games are going to come to fruition next year. It's absolutely spectacular. Everything is just going well. Everything is happening very well. I'm happy. Everybody can now say the Columbus Crew has been saved. This has been an unbelievable day of whirlwind tweets, some maybe fake, spouting off a little too early. Pundits being fooled. But the truth of the matter is, this whole situation has been unbelievable. This whole situation has been unreal. Very excited, very happy. All you can say is this. Thank you, thank you, thank you that the Columbus Crew has been saved. The Haslam family in Cleveland and Mr. Pete Edwards in Columbus have teamed up. To keep the Crew in Columbus. And all you can do is just enjoy what we have been reading, what we have been seeing. It's just been unbelievable. Unbelievable what we have witnessed. You're very happy for that community. You're just happy for all those dedicated diehard fans that have been begging, pleading, rallying to see what's been going on and how they are able to go out and just do everything they can to save the crew. I'm happy. You know, I talked to a friend of mine who used to be with me at Champion Soccer Radio Network, CSRNUSA.com, back in the day, which, of course, they're not around anymore, or technically they are, but I don't know how much longer they are. You know, all you can say is that, you know, you're happy for him, and his name is Blake Compton. It's just been unreal. Unreal what's been going on. And all you can do is go forward. Go forward. And do the job. Go forward, do the job, and have some fun. Saving the crew. Well, you know what? They're saved now. They're all saved. It feels good. And we're just going to have to wait and see how much longer the partying will be all night in Columbus. So tonight I'm here to give a toast to every single Columbus Crew supporter in the city, the capital city in the state of Ohio. Congratulations to everyone. You still have your club. You still have your club that you have supported since this league got started in 1996. From the campus of Ohio State to Crew Stadium, and hopefully very soon a brand new stadium in the downtown area will be built. Everyone should be happy that all the records, the titles, the history of this club remains with the club. It's going to be very, very special to see what's going to happen here. So somewhere down the road, we are going to try and have a special with those that cover the crew. We'll have probably an hour-long special. Whether it will be on a regular 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, or we'll have a special show on another day. This has just been a whirlwind of excitement, a whirlwind of unbelievable. It's just been unbelievable what's been going on, how it's been going on, and all you can say is it's just been crazy. And once again, this whole situation has just been a whirlwind of craziness that we didn't even expect. A whirlwind of craziness. I didn't expect that to happen. And all you can do, all you can say is that this has been a great day. This has been a great day for basically supporters knowing that this situation is not going to happen again. I'm telling you right now, everybody, this has been exhausting for me as well. Because you worry about good people losing a club that they shouldn't have lost in the first place, or, you know, fans who have done great things watching this club that, you know, they come to see and they were happy about it. This has been a situation where, once again, they're being rewarded. And hopefully we'll continue on being rewarded with the new ownership group. And we'll see what happens when we get there. This is going to be absolutely fantastic to watch what's going on. And all you can do is just go out there and just enjoy what we are seeing. Obviously, the scenes are probably going nutty right now in the local bars all over Columbus, Ohio, and the neighboring towns that have Columbus Crew fans. They're going nutty all over the town. This has been just a nutty, nutty, nutty thing. So all I can say is congratulations to everyone in Columbus. Good for you. And all I can say is thank you very much. Thank you very much for enduring this, staying positive, hoping and praying club of yours does not leave Columbus, Ohio. So, you know, it's a great night for Columbus. It's a great night for every supporter in American soccer. The underhandedness did not happen. And the savior comes from Cleveland, Ohio. Guess that's what happens when you get two wins in 1 year. Well, that's another time and another podcast for the NFL and all that stuff. So, but once again, the situation is very clear. The Columbus Crew are going nowhere. They're staying at home. All you can do is just go ahead, celebrate, take a big sigh of relief, and be very, very happy that you're not going to, that club is not going anywhere. absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Well, not quite sure if Carter Krishnar will be joining me tonight. But we will have him on Tuesday to review USA-Peru for the postgame show. That's for sure. Sometimes certain things happen in this business. And, you know, he's a very busy guy. So we'll just have to wait and see what's going to happen on Tuesday. But you know what? It's all right. It's okay. At least we were able to get this out of the way. We'll see what's going to happen. And once again, it's a situation where, you know, this is what it is. And once again, this is going to be. Now, apparently, here's some news to pass along that just popped up on my Twitter feed. District 7, which is the Austin Council, District 7 Austin Council member Leslie Poole calls for a pause on stadium negotiations, renewed solicitation, MLS to Austin, Texas. Amy Smith to Smith, Amy, and Chase. Council member Leslie Poole's statement on the Columbus Crew. The official notice from MLS and Columbus sounds like a big win for Columbus fans. Austin may still get an expansion team, which is also good news for Austin sports fans. However, I believe now is the time to push the pause button on building a stadium on the McAllis site. Let's redouble our efforts here at home to respond to legitimate taxpayer concerns about the subsidized deal. We should solicit proposals for developing McAllis and rework a stadium deal that is fair to all stakeholders. So as of right now, as we are talking about this, as of right now, discussing this, it sounds like there is an issue already with what's going on in Austin, Texas. We are seeing now right now a positive feeling that's going around. Well, we'll see what happens in Austin, but we'll see what the situation is around. Now joining us from World Soccer Talk, Carter Krishnire, joining me to talk about the Save the Crew victory, Carter. Save the Crew victory as the Columbus Crew are now remaining in Columbus, Ohio, and in MLS.
Yeah, quite a turn of events. I mean, I suppose there has been a build-up to this point, Daniel. I was hearing from people the last few days that there might be a resolution. I didn't expect it to come so quickly. Big news today with Mr. Haslam, whose brother, by the way, is the governor of Tennessee and was the former mayor of Chattanooga. He's now making a wholesale commitment to the state of Ohio, which I think is going to really be encouraging to Cleveland Browns fans also. But Haslam's going to try and complete this deal to take control of the Crew. And apologies to your listeners, by the way. I thought the show ended at 9 and was about to call in at 8:58 and thought the show was over, so we could have had this conversation for a half hour. So my apologies. But
you're lucky I made an hour and a half by accident, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Daniel.
You're welcome.
The thing I would say that's so important for everyone listening here tonight to understand is that the fans made this happen. The supporters made this happen. This is a triumphant day for soccer supporters in the United States, perhaps the most triumphant day on record. So I think we need to pat MLS on the back. They listened to the supporters. They weren't obligated to, although I think it's pretty bad business if you don't listen to your customers, if you don't listen to the people who consume your product and promote your product. But
basically,
I'm thrilled.
No, yeah. I'm thrilled with it too. I'm thrilled too. I'm very thrilled with it. You know, I got to tell you, you know, when I first saw, well, obviously Taylor Twellman deleted his tweet because he was following a fake Grant Wall, you know, Twitter handle account. And then it's like, wait a second, maybe there is something going on here. Maybe there is something big coming on here. Maybe there is something that's truly brewing because, you know, I had to sit back. I had to wait to see what this whole talk was about. And then do you remember Blake Compton during our CSRN days?
Of course.
I had to call him up. I called Blake. I said to him, because when like it looked like the news was true, I called him up. And I said, Blake, congratulations. He said, no. I don't trust the news right now. I'm like, well, look, I'm not here to troll you, Blake. I'm here to let you know it's going to happen. It took him a while. But he finally, I think he finally caught on that it's finally happening.
Yeah, I had heard from some people in the Save the Crew movement that they felt very positive about something happening by next week, and had held off on reporting it on Twitter earlier today because I had been told I've been kind of focused on the hurricane and the U.S. obviously being here in Florida and Tampa the last few days, but. And Hurricane Michael, this devastating storm for Florida Panhandle, part of the state that I spent a lot of time in. Spent a couple months a year, with listeners might know this, in Tallahassee, which is right there, which got affected by the storm. But I tell you what, Daniel, they were telling me they were really positive. They felt like something was going to happen. I've talked to multiple sources. Something was going to happen by next week. I got caught off guard that it happened today. I started talking to people and was hearing these conversations. There were rumors floating and it's like, okay, I have some certainty that something's going to happen. Talking to some of the other writers that I talk to regularly, the Bob Williamses of the world, and, et cetera, and they're like, yeah, we're hearing something similar maybe next week. And then it happened. Wow. Happened on a Friday, and it's just a feel-good factor going into this weekend of Major League Soccer. The other aspect of this, and I know you teased it as I called in, that we have to talk about is Austin getting a team. So Precourt has been given the ability to launch a team in Austin by 2021.
Mm-hmm.
First off, since USL will have a team there for probably 2 years without an MLS team in the market, which I think is kind of interesting and intriguing. But the other thing I think that's very interesting to me is that the decision has been made, which supposedly has been made for every expansion team, but it hasn't worked out that way with Minnesota, with Cincinnati, with, I don't think it's going to work out that way with Miami, Orlando, which did in 2 years in temporary stadium. New York City FC is still playing in a temporary stadium. The decision seemingly has been made that Austin will not play until they open their new stadium, which, or I don't know if that's an MLS decision or if that's an Anthony Precourt decision, but I found that interesting. So I had originally written an article for Sport Business, a publication over in the UK that said that I did not think that that Austin would be able to play in 2019 because of stadium hurdles. They might be able to, unless they could find a temporary venue. Then Precourt's statement, which was my editors in London went back and edited the piece because I got caught off guard by them basically announcing, yeah, we're not going to seek one of those temporary venues. We're going to try and open with our stadium. So I think that's interesting. Look, Precourt's going to go down as a villain in everybody's book. I guess he should. I have some degree of sympathy for him right now, Daniel. I know people don't want to hear that, but he behaved like a villain the last 12 months. he ultimately did what he needed to do and has allowed MLS to sell the rights to the Columbus market to someone else and is now pursuing the team in Austin, which he always said he wanted to pursue. They've cut him a deal where he doesn't have to, you know, he's not getting any money for Columbus. What he is he's retaining his franchise rights. I think he ultimately did the right thing. He did the wrong thing by wanting to relocate this team. But once the cat was out of the bag and things moved, I think he didn't have much choice. And one other quick point, and I might have made this previously on your show, Daniel. I don't know. I've had so many conversations about the Crew over the course of the last 12 months with people.
Yep.
Public conversations. MLS has wanted to be in the Austin market for a long time. I've had on-the-record conversations with people, and I've had off-the-record conversations with people at the league, around the league, in other teams. Not in the last 12 months, but prior to that, where they'd always be like, you know, Austin's a really intriguing market. It's a young, emerging kind of hip market. The tech industry, which is an industry that's gravitated towards soccer, we've seen that. Seattle is like the best example of that, but obviously San Jose also. The Raleigh-Durham area, which is a tech center, is very soccer savvy. I mean, that's one of the best soccer for college soccer, youth soccer, and then obviously women's soccer and lower division men's soccer in the country. And so there was this intrigue about Austin that I have to say goes way back. It doesn't go all the way back to when Phil Rollins owned his team in Austin and was very plainly told to relocate the team to Orlando if he wanted to get into MLS, okay? That was 2010. And at the time, MLS was just looking at sheer market size. And the Orlando television market is in the top 20 in the country. Austin is, like, 35th. But now they're looking at, like, quality of per capita income, where Austin's way ahead of Orlando. I mean, really, you know, getting young professionals in stadiums, getting companies that are sponsors, that sort of thing. So, you know, it was bad timing in 2010. Had 2010 been 2015, they might have told Phil Rollins, you know, we'll get someone else in Orlando. You stick it out in Austin. It's a market they've wanted to be in. And I think there might be some reluctance on the part of people around MLS to acknowledge that they did not discourage Anthony Precourt from openly flirting with Austin. So I don't want to recast this and say he wasn't a villain, because he was, but I think ultimately there were other factors at play, and it's all going to work out the way it should now.
The only thing I can say about this, Kartik, is that, you know, I don't blame MLS for going into Austin if they felt that was a great market to have a professional side. But the way they did it was the wrong way. That's the only thing
Absolutely.
I can say. It's the wrong way of doing it, is to force the Crew to, or at least the club, to move, forcing them to move out of Columbus to make this whole demographics movement situation, you know, financial demographic situation, move over there. Because all I can say is this: I don't mind them going to Austin, but the way they did it was wrong. And, you know, Don Garber, I don't think he'll be commissioner, you know, for life, but the day he's gone is the day where every supporter in MLS, including those in Columbus, will say, thank God you're gone, because now we're going to trust someone else to help us and help this league move forward. I think Garber's done a tremendous job, don't get me wrong, but the way he set this whole thing up, that is where he was in the wrong and the league was in the wrong to rip apart this club from that community that has supported that club since the beginning of the league in 1996.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And I think ultimately, Daniel, the issue for me when it came down to it was the process MLS handled this. I always thought the solution, and I think I may have articulated this on your show 12 months ago or 11 months ago or 10 months ago, I always thought the solution was to say, cast Precourt as a rogue, but let him have an expansion team in Austin and keep with the team in Columbus and flip the team to another owner. That's ultimately what's happening. So did we need to go through the year of bad PR and bad image and branding for Major League Soccer to get to this point? I don't believe we needed to, but maybe there were political considerations. Maybe Anthony Precourt and Don Garber and Mark Abbott decided, hey, in order to get the city of Austin to sign on the dotted line and build a stadium for us, or give us the land to build a stadium, we need to play this thing out this way. But, you know, they played it out this way, and at the same time, USL, which is kind of emerging as a rival league in some regards, even though they are a second division, and MLS is a first division, has opted to put a team in Austin at the same time. So they weren't able to prevent that from happening, and they certainly weren't able to take the wind out of the sails of the Save the Crew movement that just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger as the seasons went on. So I think, you know, from my perspective, we're looking at a very, very strong statement from supporters today, and we're looking at a process that was mismanaged by Major League Soccer and Anthony Precourt, but in the end, everybody did the right thing. So I want to...
Very true.
You know, I want people to be happy today. I don't want to say, hey, Garber's a jerk, Abbott's a jerk, Precourt's a jerk. Let's just, you know, let bygones be bygones. It's the right result.
Mm-hmm. Real quick before I let you go, apparently a member of the Austin Council, Miss Leslie Poole, she gave this statement out saying the official notice from MLS in Columbus sounds like a big win for Columbus fans. Austin may still get an expansion team, which is also good news for Austin sports fans. However, I believe now is the time to push the pause button on building a stadium on the McCalla site. Let's redouble our efforts here at home to respond to legitimate taxpayer concerns about the subsidized deal. We should solicit proposals for developing McCalla and rework a stadium deal that is fair to all stakeholders. Your opinion, please.
Yeah, I think there's going to be more of that. I thought that right away when I saw Precourt's statement, which interestingly got sent from the Columbus Crew. I got a statement in my inbox from the Crew, and I thought it was going to be about Haslam, and it was actually Precourt talking about Austin. But that's neither here nor there. That was my first reaction, Daniel, was which politician in Travis County, which politician in Austin is going to step up and say now, hey, let's hit the pause button on that site. Now we have more time to play this out. We're going to have 2 extra years. And as we've seen with Miami, and I mean, I'll just leave on this note, as I've seen with the situation in Miami, which began when Marcelo Claure and FC Barcelona pulled out in early 2009. These things can drag out for a decade if you don't have a proper stadium site and you don't have the kind of political support you need. Now what they've got is they've got political support in Miami. The council, the commission was behind them, but they don't have popular support. We will see what happens November, as the election three and a half weeks from now in the city of Miami. I talked to a pollster earlier in the week who told me that stadium could go down, but that's a subject for another day. Austin might face similar hurdles now. It's just what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Clark, thank you again for your time. Always enjoy talking with you, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday night on the post-game show after USA-Peru happens on Tuesday.
Sorry.
That's right, Tuesday night. You're fine? No, that's okay. Tuesday night. I'll see you on Tuesday night. Yep.
See you on Tuesday night.
All right.
Thank you.
See you on Tuesday night. No problem. Thank you. Well, I want to thank Carter Kirshner for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, the 14th Fire American Soccer Show, the special, as we already talked about, the United States, they lose to Colombia by a final of 4-2. But also very happy to discuss this whole thing that happened this past afternoon with the situation with the Columbus Crew. So join me this coming Monday for a special USL playoff preview show. And then on Tuesday night, join me for USA-Peru post-game show with Carter Kirshner. I'll try to get one more person if we can. As always, please enjoy your football. And to everyone in Columbus, Ohio, congratulations. Thank you very much, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye for now. Enjoy your football.